in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. Stains are lost in its life-giving flow. Wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonderful in the blood of the Lamb. There is power.
Good afternoon. Remember all these that we're going. Remember the ones that may be still traveling on the road wherever they're at today. Sister Susan says, pray for Doris Sears, 84 years old and in the ICU, needs healing. Brother Rhino says, please continue to pray for Eula. She's having a EEG Wednesday and then to see a neurologist later this month. So remember little Eula. Still remember the ones that we're praying for are sick. Brother Gary Atkins, he got some tests back, was good. He's doing better. Sister Charlotte's got the flu, so remember her. Sister Frida and Alexi's are sick. Sister Barbara's car's tore up, but she's also traveling too, so remember her also. And Sister Peggy Gibby's sick. Sister Julie gave one, says Luke has a cough and congestion, and he's doing much better, but continue little Lucas there. June gave me one on Sister Barbara. Remember them, they'll be traveling. They're leaving Thursday for Bangladesh, so remember that. Sister Frida, Sister Gail, Connie and Daniel are coughing real bad, and also still remember her sister, Joanne. Also remember Brother Luis. He's down in Costa Rica, and he's fixing to go leave out, so just remember that. He made it down there fine. And Sister Christine had to take little Zoe home. She was running a fever, so she had to go home this afternoon. I think that's all the requests that we have. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this afternoon. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling on the highways, wherever they may be today. You come down and bless them, be with them, and guide them. Lord, be with the request that was mentioned here this afternoon. Be with them, Lord, the ones that are sick. Many, many sickness that we have here, Lord. And thank you for taking care of the ones that you've made whole there, Lord. Just continue to bless them, Lord. And by your stripes, they're all healed. Lord, be with Wade also this afternoon, Lord. Give him strength. And we all have the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Most of all, Lord, you forgive us of all of our sins. We love you for your many, many blessings that you give us on a daily basis. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's also first of the month, so we've got to go over to the January birthdays. Good, bad, and ugly. Y'all put whatever you want to with them. GB and you. Little Mercy's birthday is tomorrow, so remember the Mercy. Trudy Troussant, Bella, Robbie McFerrin, Ray Gabriel. There's a ugly. Nyla. Josiah turns 13 the 12th of, yeah, he's got to get a job, starting getting a job. He's looking for a job. Anybody needs to hire him when you get in the teens. Monica Black, Anna Marunga, Zoe and Kaylee, they got the same birthday. Ruth McFerrin, Sarah Roberts, Richard Marlowe Ugly, Wade Ugly, and Forrest West are the birthdays for January. So let's go with a...
I got a daughter, I think, 55 today.
Wow. You're telling your age. You're showing it too. But let's go in E flat. E flat.
Oh, happy birthday to you. Oh, happy birthday.
Which one? Happy birthday, Connie.
You may be seated. Turn to 223 in the red book. Lord. Wonderful World's Alive. Kind of start out this afternoon, amen.
Sing them over again to me. Wonderful Words of Life. Let me more of their mercy see. Of life, words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven, beautiful words. Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. The pardon and peace to all. Wonderful words of love. Jesus, only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love.
Number 87, G. Let me walk, blessed Lord. Amen. Fill my way with love this year. Amen.
Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. My way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way. Be close to the side of my Savior and God. Let me never in darkness roam. Keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go on a while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Soon this race will be o'er and I'll travel no more, but abide in the home above. Let me sing Blessed King all the way to the shore. Fill my way every day with love. Fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Amazing sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is, let's all stand, that grace appear, the eye God right here, ain't it? Praise God, 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 praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, through many dangers, amen. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Hallelujah to the Lamb, amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb, hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain upon the tree. By his stripes I am healed. Confess it. By his blood I am sealed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Brother Mark, if you'll come this afternoon.
Remain standing. Let's sing number 2, A flat. I want to see it. Oh, I want to see it. Amen. As I journey through this land. Amen. As I journey through this land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him and look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let him lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead and leads whatever betide. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let him lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys, Lord, I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight. With a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, then sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let him lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to recall. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, then the Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let him lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. You may be seated as Sister Melka comes this afternoon as I volunteered.
Thank you.
Brother Michael.
Thank you, Lord.
Anymore.
angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This old green glory land will live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate it. Let's all stand. We're going to change our service for Brother Wade come this afternoon. You know, can I say something about my Sunday school class? And my brother is just singing here. He's at the same place in his life I was about his age. So he's always on my heart. He's with his mother, watching over, taking care of her. And it'll make a man out of you. Appreciate you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
What you expect, see what you want to see. Amen. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Hope that this morning was enough to help you a little bit. Sister Sharon never heard me preach before. She was in for a surprise. Bless her heart. She's back though. I think somebody made her stay. Lock the door. Well, it looks like you locked some of them out because they didn't come back. Oh, well, yeah. Can't make them drink, yeah. Don't need to worry about that. We just need to keep on moving on. Keep on moving on. If you got your Bibles, turn to 2 Peter 1. Remember all the sick. Remember Brother Luis. He's interpreting, I think, as we speak. I think Joe and him's got him back there live streaming a couple of services down there. And he's leaving for Nicaragua tomorrow. And remember, I will be leaving for the Philippines. I sound like a Filipino now. They make fun of themselves saying that. I'll be in the Philippines for the 25th to the 17th of March. So keep us in your prayers. Fellowship meeting will be not this coming Saturday, but the next Saturday at Brother Homer Longoria's. Probably leave my house about 10:30 or so like that, 10 o'clock. We didn't mention Brother Bob Black. He's preaching for Brother Tom Kershane and did this morning, and I'm sure he's probably on his way back. So we need to keep him in prayer with all this rain and weather going on. So you love the Lord?
Amen.
Then we have come to listen to see what he had to say. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would, again, just one more time, come among us, Lord. Not be a bystander to record our thoughts and our ideas, but be an active participant in the service, Father. You take over. You be the one that, Lord, does the singing, that does the playing, that does the speaking, that does the hearing. Father, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We've come to a place in all of our lives to where, Lord, it's 2015. Who would have thought that it would have went this long? But we're here. Lord, we want to get out of here because there's a lot of promises and things that are coming our way that we need to line up before they get here. The promise of a change, the promise of adoption, the promise of speaking the word, all those promises. We've got to go through a journey before we get there, Father. We pray, Lord, now that you would help us through that journey. Be our guide. If someone does not know you as their guide, Lord, please do not let them sleep. Stir their water so much, Lord, till they realize that they're lost and on a way to a sinner's hell with no hope without you, Father. I pray that you would just burden their heart because it's coming close to the time, Lord, where the doors will be shut. We're going to need these virtues. We're going to need the things that you have already, the provisions that you provided in the Word. We're going to need them then. And not just ask for them at that time. We're going to need them. I pray now that you'd just be with us, Lord. Bless us. Keep us safe. Be with the ones that are not here, Lord, the sick ones. Bless the ones, Lord, that are on the foreign fields doing their mission work. We pray for them, Father. Give them fruit for their labors. Bless each one of us here. Keep us strong. Give us a good shot of vitamin W called the Word. Give us a shot of that, Lord, and we won't need anything else. Just be with us now, Lord. Take care of us. Protect us in Jesus' name. Amen. If anybody gets too cold, hold their hands up except Sister Gail and Sister Joyce. I'll absolutely ignore both of them. But Sister Gail will just put on her shawl. Now, Joyce, she's already got... Well, she don't have a coat on. Hallelujah. It's 87 degrees in here. That's the reason. I'll never forget that day, Danny. Me and you were at... we were out west hunting in Kansas and... Brother Jim Schroeder's wife, I mean, honestly, people. The candles this big around that come out, you know, they got a candelabra that comes out from the wall and goes up about this far, and there's candles this big around, right? About that big around. Not little bitty ones, big candles. We come in there, you know, when we first started hunting, well, the candles are kind of bent over like this. They're about this tall, and they're bent over. We could tell why. It was 80-something. Danny was sweating like he couldn't even see to eat. It was so hot in that room, it had bent those candles. She had to take those candles and put them in the microwave and reheat them again to straighten them up and put them back up. Well, they just fall over again. It was 86. She said, it's just 86 degrees in here. Just 86 degrees in here? I don't think so. But we're trying to escape a hotter place. This is not too bad now at 70-something degrees, so I turned the air on just for a few minutes. And if you want it turned off, just walk over there and touch it. But 2 Peter 1, we're going to review a little bit, and then may have to do a little lengthy reading today. But for the introduction, it may seem boring to some of you, but the Word of God should never be boring. A group of people stood for 6 hours because they heard a word they'd never heard before. They found a set of scrolls, and they were so excited they stood for 6 hours. It didn't say just the young one stood for 6 hours. It said they all stood for 6 hours and listened to that word being read. So I think we can praise God that we're not that 6 hours long. We've sat through a few couple 2 or 3 hour ones here with Brother Moat and some of the ones. But you know what? That's what we needed. It was time to pack the word in. So now we can try to do the same thing again, but not do 3 hours worth of it. So Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertains unto life and godliness. So we're going to be talking about life and godliness. When we get into these virtues, we're going to get into life lessons. All right, we're going to get into life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now that's, Peter's making a point here, verse 1 through 4, he's making a point. You got to be born again. You got to have the divine nature of God.
Amen.
See, now watch this. This proves the whole thing where people think you got to get the new birth up there. No, you got to have the new birth to begin with. Because it says, and besides this, look at verse 5, and besides this, what? Besides having the new birth.
Right.
Because we're going to read Sister Shepherd's dream in a little bit, and she was worried about she was born again. She was born again, but there were some things that was going on in that dream that'll prove that we still need a cleaning out after we're born again. Okay? Being born again as the same person that wrote this, Peter did. And beside this, giving all diligence. In other words, you can't be dilatory. You got to have diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you, there's that word if, and abound, overflowing, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Amen. Amen. Lord, add his blessing to the word. Go ahead and be seated. We're going to read Ephesians 4. We're just going to background here for a minute until it cools down up here. And then we will begin the lesson for the afternoon. We're still in the introduction. We still want to set a background for what we want to speak on for the next several services. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles. Now, for the ones that were not here this morning, or the ones that clicked on, Peter told us what to get. He told us what to get. Add divine nature, add to your faith, but he really never said how to get it. He said you must obtain it. So Paul picks up Peter, same Holy Ghost, but Paul picks it up and says, okay, this is how you get it. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, you can't edify the body if you don't have, somebody's got to have these virtues working in life. Somebody asked me a question a little while ago, said, is that the reason we're still here? Yes. Somebody must have all these virtues working in their life, go up to the Holy Spirit, go up to love, and be kept as a adopted son of God, and then still, something's got to happen. You say, what's got to happen? Well, Brother Branham was standing there just like this, and he's in the grave. He's waiting on someone to come to full maturity. But maybe just not one person. It needs to be all of us. That's the reason we all are still here.
Right.
The reason we're still here.
Right.
It's just the plain. It's not that, I've said many times before, and I hope it rings home, God didn't just put a day on a calendar and exit and say, this is when I'm coming.
That's right.
He knew when it would happen. But it's not a red letter day that he's got X'd off. It's when his people get ready.
Right.
It's when his people are at the place to where God can work in them like he did in Adam and Eve.
Right.
I said Adam and Eve. Before the fall, they were co-equal, right? Because it's got to be Christ and his bride to finish the program.
Right.
It can't just be one or the other. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And Christ was the fullness, as we looked in the chart this morning. That's the fullness of Christ. The headstone, that man, when he walked on the face of the earth, He was the stature of a perfect man.
Amen.
All right? He was the one that we look to, that we henceforth be no more children. Ephesians 4, 14. Tossed to and fro and carried away. That's our problem. Our problem is we are still, some still children. We still like milk. I still like milk, but I don't drink it every day. I like strong meat. It's like I told somebody not too long ago, you know, God, somebody was talking about being a vegetarian. I said, God give me the wrong teeth for that.
That's right.
Oh, hey, Benny. Hey. He gave me incisors and he gave me canines. Canines are meat eaters. Jesus eat fish. That's a meat, so I'm okay. That we henceforth be no more children, though, tossed to and fro. Now, see, if you're tossed to and fro, just say, look, I'm a child. I'm just a kid. In God, I'm just a child. And you see that as you carry yourself on in life. You see, you know, I've been back to this church 16 years now. And, well, it doesn't seem like that long, but it has been 16 years. And you see people leave and come back and leave and come back or leave and don't come back. Well, one thing's for sure, they really never got settled, or they don't have the Holy Ghost to start with. All right? Because you toss to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of, it didn't say man, it says men. So it's not just in one person. And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. All right? But speaking the truth in love, may grow up.
Amen.
See, we henceforth be no more children. So we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So He is, if He's the head of all things, then we must come up to the head.
Amen.
May grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, not just put together, I mean you really pound it together, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure, there's a measure, of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Right.
All right? So we've come to a place to where then we looked this morning, we were talking about the headstone. If you would, pull the full number one picture up, Brother Anderson. Brother Anderson's name doesn't get called much. He's really the one that puts these things up here. If he's not asleep. There we go. Okay. But this is the full... Oh, I'm sorry. It's Sarah's father. I told him, I said, when that baby's born, you'll only be known from now on as Sarah's father. You won't be known as Anderson. You'll be Brother Anderson. You'll be Sarah's father. So, but you see, this is the fullness. This is Jesus Christ. Now, we see that when He ascended and left, that the headstone was rejected by man. Of course, He was rejected and killed. But there was nothing for it to fall back on except for that foundation of faith, the apostles and prophets, right? The day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, take that away. On the day of Pentecost, this came here. The faith. The revelation of the Son of God, the Holy Ghost, came back on the day of Pentecost in the hearts of the believers, but the Son of Man ministry was taken away because man couldn't handle it. And one thing's for sure, the Son of Man is the complete revelation of God, not just part revelation of God. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right? That's why you see all that is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Well, at one time, when He took that away, then we come down here and we start at the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now remember, they had these virtues working in their life. The first three ages, basically, we can say the first three ages. I said we weren't going to get into church ages, but really, the first three church ages had the complete revelation. And if, when we get into it later on, you'll see in brotherly kindness where they had all things common. Brother Branham said that was the brotherly kindness for the ages, they all had all things common.
Right.
And we'll get into it, and we'll see if you have the same reaction those did downstairs. with what Brother Branham said about brotherly kindness. Just make sure you get you bring your make sure you bring your checkbook and your savings account book. Bring you a house, no mortgage, the house, the and all that. Bring it with you that day, and we'll talk about it. Because that's what Brother Branham said in the first church age. They had all things common, is they gave all their money to one person and he distributed it out. So anyway, bring cash. Don't bring checkbook. Bring cash. But when you start down here at faith, that's the foundation. Then we were talking in where Zechariah, it talks about Zerubbabel, where Zerubbabel, which was a real man, he comes and builds the Jerusalem back, right? The house of Israel. He comes back, but Zerubbabel obviously is in type, would be Jesus Christ, or it would be the message of the hour, because what happened was, down in the church ages, all this was eat down to a degree to where it couldn't work. There was nothing but just like Brother Branham said in that fourth church age, just to believe God, you got killed.
Right.
Just to have faith, just to believe on God, you were killed for that. Now, you know, they didn't have to have a lot of these virtues, but you know what they did? Look at that, though. They had patience. So you, if you got the Holy Ghost, you got a certain degree of these. Because
right.
I'm going to read you a quote in a minute where Brother Ram said, you don't even have to have the Holy Ghost to have a certain degree
right.
of the virtues, but not the virtues of God.
Amen.
There's a difference. These are not just, well, I knew a man that, if he wasn't born again, he didn't have none of that.
Right.
You got to be born again first. That's what we established. And then we read also in the Scriptures, just trying to background a few minutes, that he was the headstone. But as they rejected him, he comes down and becomes the cornerstone. Put that one up right there. He comes down and becomes the cornerstone. Because Zerubbabel had to build that thing square with a plummet. And you take those, and that's just a mini pyramid in itself. But there's your cornerstone. And the cornerstone started back down here. He had to start with a building. Zerubbabel had to start that from a foundation. And then build the temple up, because everything sits on the foundation. But then in the end time, he not only comes here, he goes right back up and becomes the headstone again.
Right.
That's why the headstone was brought back into the church.
Amen.
In the end time. Did everybody follow that okay this morning? If you have any questions, like I said, jot them down, and maybe two Sundays from now we'll have one Sunday afternoon where we'll have questions. But if you got any questions, just put them on a piece of paper and lay them up here or give them to me or Brother Dale one. And we'll try to answer them. But what I'm trying to do is set a, to make a statement, number one, that this is not just a good drawing.
Right.
This is not just a good drawing that it looks good and Brother Branham knew what he was doing. No, the Almighty gave him this.
Right.
He was sitting out under a tree squirrel hunting. He said, this chart is what God, this is what came to me.
Right.
All right. So Zerubbabel, in the form of the Elijah of the day, knew then that he had to build this church back up to the faith of the fathers.
Right.
All right? Because it had been, the word, the effects of the word had been eroded by man's tradition, and Brother Brown called them loose ends.
Right.
It was loose ends that man, there's no loose ends. You see anything loose about this?
No.
No, that's firm foundation. You got all your, you got everything tied together. Everything's exactly where it should be. So that's the way God wants it. He doesn't want it to have holes in it or anything like that. He wants it to be a firm building. And you know what? It will be.
Amen.
It will be. God's already promised that it will be. So it's going to be a firm foundation. It's going to be exactly what God wants. Okay? So everybody okay with that? He became the head of the corner. We read that this morning there in Ephesians 2:19. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Verse 21, you don't have to pull it up. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple.
Amen.
In the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So it has to come through the Spirit by a fivefold ministry to bring that headstone back into the place that it should be. That's why the pyramids didn't have the head on it. Showing that Christ would be rejected. But Christ, in being rejected, he just went down there and started building the foundation out of the same material that he had in the head.
Right.
He started building that foundation and started going up. Then we read in 1 Peter about being lively stones. I'm just trying to catch up here. Then it become a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. If you're not in there, If you're not in that pyramid, then you're going to stumble over it. And I think a lot of people, even Christians, stumble over things. Amen? They stumble over things. They stumble over and they don't think things that are important or whatever, but can't make them. You can bring them to water, but you can't make them drink. Then in Galatians it says, after the faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. A schoolmaster was what brought us unto Christ. The schoolmaster was the do's and the don'ts to bring us there, because honestly, when we're going to talk on a new birth next Sunday, honestly, in the new birth, people, you know, they say, well, I quit smoking, I quit drinking, I quit doing this. I must have the new birth. That's sanctification. If you're still doing those things, you're not even sanctified. You may be justified, but you're not even sanctified. You're not even in order for this. You're not even in order for communion. Amen? You're not in order for doing anything. You shouldn't be doing anything up here. You shouldn't be doing anything if you're still doing those things and you're not born again. We need born again people. We need people that God can work through. Hey, there's all time we all had to be worked on. We all have to be worked on. We still have to be worked on. But there's a time when the old things are passed away, the Bible says. All things become new. There's a certain time where you got to say, that's it. And that don't happen to me no more. God can deal with you different ways. But when you got a problem, and you see that problem get wiped away, and especially if it's a habit, then you know it was God who did it. You didn't do it because you can't. This is not Alcoholics Anonymous. We believe in deliverance, not suppression. Right? All Alcoholics Anonymous does is just makes that demon go down just a little bit, hides him a little bit, makes you deny what you are. They say once a drunk, always a drunk. No. Not when you get born again. You get born again, that thing will go out the door, I promise you, because I did the tobacco thing for 20-something years. And the day I walked right there at this spot right here, I laid it down. And the next day, I didn't want it no more. The next day, I didn't want it no more. Okay? So God knew that was something I'd have to deal with, though. And you got to find out what God got to deal with you also. And then you got to... But we got to deal with it. I'm not still dealing with it. 16 years later, it's still dead. Once something's dead, it's dead. Amen? Because remember, we're going to talk about life and godliness. All right? That's what the statute of perfect man is. Life and godliness. So it's going to talk about our life and the things that we do. Even after, you say, after you're born again? Absolutely. After you're born again, Brother Brown said, Satan turns every gun on you, and man, he'll start blowing you. It wasn't that I wasn't tempted about what I did. I still had tobacco. You know how cigarette smokers were? Those of you who smoked cigarettes, you had one here, you had one in the pocket, you had two in your car. You made sure you didn't run out. You had them stuck everywhere. Same way with chewing tobacco and anything else, drinking or whatever. You're going to hide stuff somewhere. And, you know, you always get around a bunch of guys and they always say, hey, here, you know, and they throw you something or beer or whatever, you know. But when you say no, and you mean no, and you know that thing's gone. Because any other time you do it. Right? But when you know that thing's gone, when you know that demon's dead... See, what I done is when that demon was dead, see, I don't have to go back and say, well, I'm worried about... Don't worry about that one. Go to the next demon. Because I promise you, there's a line of them. If you may just see there's just one, but there's a line of them back there somewhere. One dies, one pops up. One dies, one pops up. Oh, so it doesn't just happen to me. Well, praise the Lord. All right, so on the statue of a perfect man, let's go to that first quote and get started right here. Now, we're approaching the seven seals. We have just finished the seven church ages, and this is the message on teaching that ties the man in. That's going to be redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, and is going to be in that church age, that eternal church age, at the end of the seal. So now let us read 1 Peter, and he continues reading that. Let's go to paragraph 35. Just scroll it on up. Brother Bram's reading that. Now, paragraph 35 says, notice, he's saying that I have obtained this faith, talking about Peter, and I'm addressing this to them that has obtained the like precious faith. So see, you got to be born again. That answers the question right there. Right. It's not the Holy Spirit up here that we're dealing with right now. Right. It's the Holy Spirit that we're dealing with down at the bottom of the pyramid. Amen. That we'll talk about next Sunday. Getting us into the body and getting us in line for service. Okay?
Right.
Because remember, sanctification is clean and set aside for service.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost is putting you in service. Well, in service is going to start putting you up, giving you these virtues, if you want them.
Right.
If you want them. It's not to the outside world. This is to the church.
Amen.
See, those that are in Christ. And he reads on up. Let's go on up to skip, save time. Go to paragraph 36. Now let that soak in real deep. Now preaching this morning, just not preaching, just teaching. Divine nature. Because
right.
This is the divine nature of God. If you want to characterize God in any way, that's why this is important. If you want to say, well how do you know what God is?
Amen.
That's God.
Right.
That's the virtue of God, the knowledge of God, the temperance of God, the patience of God, the brotherly kindness of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and the love of God. It's all God.
Right.
All right? There's no devil in there anywhere. There's no place for Satan.
Amen.
Anywhere in that. All right? That's why we're still here, because we still leave a place for the devil.
Right.
Some of you can amen, or some of you can oh me. It doesn't matter. It's the truth anyhow. But look. He talks about divine nature. Verse in number 37. See the world. We've escaped that now. He's addressing this to the church. That's why we're here this morning, is to find out what is the way, what is God's requirement.
Amen.
So they must be required. There's not a person in here that loves God but wants to become more like Christ. Now it's laid out here. So there's, if you want to be more like Christ, it's going to be laid out in the statue of a perfect man. Amen? Now it's laid out here. Every Christian. Talk about old veterans. So let's go to 1A. Now this is one we stopped on this morning. So now let's bring it up just a little bit more. Let's go to 1A, statue of perfect man. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Having escaped that, the lust, the corruption of the world. You're above that. Now, that's the type of person that he's talking to. The person that has escaped these things.
Yeah.
See, the corruption of the world. And besides this, giving all diligence. He reads the scripture. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity.
Right.
Now, he has given us the outline here, what to do.
Amen.
Know how to do it. Now, as I said, we're all trying to come closer to God. That's why I chose this message this morning for the church.
Amen.
All right, so it's not for the world. This is for the church.
Glory.
All right, let's go to quote number two. All right, quote number two is Statue of a Perfect Man, paragraph 69. We're just going to kind of read a few. This is going to be kind of long, but watch what he's talking about. What is the tabernacle now? A body. God tabernacling in a body. God wants up high when he come down on the mountain. Even if a bullock or cow touched the mountain, he must be killed.
Right.
God is holy. Now remember, that's the same God that was back there, the same God supposed to be in you. Okay? All right, last evening when these angels covered their faces, holy seraphims with holy faces, don't even know what sin means. And they have to cover their face in the presence of God, cover their feet in humility. Now, holy God could not condone sin, so nothing could touch the mountain where God was. Then God was made flesh and dwelt among us in the form of Jesus Christ, His Son, His creation. Then that Son gave His life, and the blood cell of God was broken, that the life might come out of the blood to us.
Amen. Amen.
All right, come out of the blood to us. Through that blood we are cleansed. And now our blood, watch. Now our blood, our life, which came by living through sexual desire, brought our life in the world. That's obvious. We're all sitting here. We know how we all got here. All right? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, changes our nature.
Glory.
By sending upon us the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Then we become into the divine nature of God.
Amen.
We come into that. Then we become a dwelling place.
Glory.
For God. Amen. Everybody see that? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it means. Now let's go to paragraph 75. Know how that God is in His church. The church is now supposed to be taking the place of Christ.
Right.
Carrying on His ministry. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Yet a little while, the world see me no more. Yet you shall see me. For I will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. See, there it is. Carrying on His work. Now God, or the Bible said here, that Stephen spoke of Solomon building a temple. And the Most High don't dwell in temples made with hands. So this is not a temple made with hands. This is not a building, it's a person. All right, it's a person. It's not a building, it's a person. For heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool, and where is the place of my rest? Well, it's in you. Let me answer that question. Right? But he doesn't want to just rest in you. He wants to use you.
Amen.
All right? He doesn't just want to rest. He wants to use you. But a body hast thou prepared me. Amen. There you are. A body hast thou prepared me. Scroll it all the way up, if you don't mind. So we can. The ones in the back can't see it. God dwells in the stature. Not statue. Stature of a man reflecting himself into that being. Perfect worship. God in us being his tabernacle. God manifesting. Oh, how we could stay on that till you would almost suffocate in here from heat. Notice. God has always, at all time, reflected himself in man. Always. Always, at all time, reflected himself in man. Didn't want to reflect himself in an animal. Didn't want to reflect himself in the stars or this great ball of earth. He wants to reflect himself in a man because what? We're made in his image. We're his children. Right? So he wants his children to have what he has.
Amen.
Now let's go to number three. This is a good one. I like this one than the next few. Now Peter is outlining something here for us that how to get there.
Amen.
Okay? So he's telling us how to get there. All right? Now, I want to say this, that there are some people who have a portion of this virtue, knowledge, wisdom, patience, and so forth, that don't even profess to be Christian.
Right.
Now, we just were teaching Sunday school, and that's true. There's some have a portion of this that don't even pretend to be Christian. But that won't do it.
Right.
It's like a blackbird trying to put peacock feathers in his wings to make him a peacock. He only disgraces himself. Be better to stay a blackbird.
Right.
See, when he tries to exercise these things without being a Christian, he's just simply out of place.
Right.
All right? When you're trying to pretend. And now let's go to 3A where Brother Branham explains this. In my words, he explains it. Because what's he talking about? Unless we suffer with him, this is in chapter 4, the Smyrna Church Age. Now, my computer, it didn't have a paragraph number, so I don't know what paragraph number it is. But you ought to be able to look it up. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. See, these are sufferings. Like Brother Keith Reed said, this is the trials of life. This is the things we must do. Because look, people, we've got to be overcomers. We got to overcome something. Okay? You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering.
Right.
This is the characteristics or the character of Almighty God.
Right.
These virtues are the character. So when I say virtues, you say character. In your brain, when you say virtues, you say character. Character, virtues. Same thing. Okay? Because it's your characteristics. Character is a victory, not a gift.
Right.
So he's not going to give you these just because you're a Christian.
Right.
A man without character can't reign.
Right.
Because power, apart from character,
right,
is satanic. You remember the Simon the sorcerer, I believe it was? He followed Paul and Stephen or somebody, or Paul and somebody around. And he saw him doing mighty signs and wonders. He said, let me buy that. I want to buy that from you. I want to get that from you. And the movie that Sister Johnny gave me, it was really neat because Peter turned around and said, God knows your heart. And that's what it is. God knows your heart. He knows you won't use it right. So therefore, he won't give it to you. Same thing with that. Power without character is satanic. We have the power. We have the Holy Ghost. That's the most power you ever need. But without the character of God, you'll use it wrong. Elisha had the power. He didn't have the new birth, but he had the power. God did what Elisha said, right? If Elisha would have had character to go with that power, he would have never called those she-bears to eat those 42 children. That's the difference in the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Right.
David, all those ones that you see God's power, but they just didn't have the character to go along with it.
Right.
So power without character is satanic.
Right. Exactly.
In other words, you'll use it wrong.
Right.
Okay? But power with character is fit to rule. And since he wants us to share even his throne on the same basis that he overcome and he sat down in his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. And a little temporary suffering we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that we will be revealed in us when he comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation.
Right.
Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him.
Right.
Because look, people, our human character is contrary to God.
Right.
That's right.
Our human character is contrary to God. So God must change that, and it must be a victory. It must be a suffering that we must go through, because it's not a gift. Character is a victory.
Amen.
When you come to a place to where you see that God's dealing in your life, and like some downstairs with, most everybody had a problem with temperance. This is Johnny's got her hand up kind of like this. But when you know that that person cuts you off, usually it's road rage. Satan has got in our cars now. Like he wasn't there before. But road rage is one thing that really, you know, it upsets people. And Sister Johnny said a lot of times that would happen to her. Of course, she's from New York. But she don't mind me telling it. But she's overcome that. But you know what? She had to go through it.
Amen.
To overcome it. You can't just walk through. You can't just walk through life and the rose bushes just clear back as you walk through. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. The rose bushes are just going to part, and you're going to just walk right through, and they're going to be throwing cotton at your feet.
Oh, yeah.
No. Character is a victory.
Amen.
Not a gift. So God's going to put you through that. And the reason, listen, if you'll take a test like this, the reason God puts you through the test, he knows that you'll pass the test.
Right.
Or if you don't, he's going to give it to you again until you do pass it. Because remember, he doesn't have anyone fail. Now, you can fail. God won't fail. You can fail. You can fail and stop anytime you want to, because I'll read it here in just a minute. But power without character is satanic. You can have all the power in the world, but if you can't use it right, it's not of God.
Right.
All right? But power with character is fit to rule, and he wants us to rule and reign with him. Let's go to number 4. Still in the statue of a perfect man, paragraph 94. Well, now, and then I'm talking to it like what Brother Brown was talking about, the blackbird that sticks the peacock feathers in. That's power without character. He's a bird. The peacock's a bird. The blackbird's a bird. They're in the same family, the birds. It's just that the peacock, I mean, the old ugly blackbird wants to look like the peacock. So he takes peacock feathers and he starts sticking them in. Well, somewhere along the line, they're going to fall out. And he's just going to be a blackbird. Well, now that's the way it is trying to manufacture Christianity. You can't do it. The first thing you've got to do is be born again. You've got to be changed, see? And when you're changed, you become a new creation. Now you're getting right now. So you don't have to worry about the feathers. It takes care of itself. All right? I mean, you know, a lot of these people are, you know, they say, well, I always was a wheat plant. Well, I've got quotes from Brother Brown said he was a cuckabur and had to be transformed.
Right.
I thought it was, you know, it'd be real easy for God to just say, well, you always was that.
Yeah.
What victory and what character is built in that? No, but for me to realize I was a blackbird.
Right.
But I want to be a peacock, but it's not that I'm going to take and stay a crow or a blackbird and act like a peacock. No, God's going to say, you want to look like that peacock? I'll change you into that peacock if that's what you want to be. If that's what you want to be, I'll put you over there. Because remember, it all comes from the inside out. Brother Brown said he changed me from a cuckabird to a wheat plant. We'll talk about that maybe next week. But roll it up. Talking about a hog bent. A hog's a hog. It doesn't matter what you do. You can put a tuxedo suit on him and he runs right back into the water because he's a hog. Now notice, you must be born again. That is changed.
Right.
There's got to be a change. Now, how many times he said that in the past several quotes? There's got to be a change. You can't act like you acted even 6 months ago to certain degrees. All right? Now, there's certain things, certain characters that we're going to have to deal with, characters that we have that are traits that Donnie likes cars and I like to hunt. That don't make us different. That just makes humanly that he likes cars and I like hunting. I might listen, I might endure him talking about cars and he may endure me talking about hunting. But there's in these virtues, that's not a, well, maybe I'll have a little bit of this virtue. No, you got to have the virtue of God.
Amen.
It's God's virtue. It's not human nothing.
Right.
If it was human anything, we could manufacture it.
That's right.
And I think what we're doing is a lot of times we're trying to manufacture it.
Yeah.
Can't do that. You can't manufacture God. Because power without character is satanic. Now let's read this quote right here. Everybody kind of getting the gist of it? Watch one more time. Notice, you must be born again. I really don't see how people... we've seen Daddy, Brother Dale's been with some people that, turn the pyramid upside down and all this stuff and try to get the Holy Ghost here and there. Let's just see what the prophet says.
Right.
Now, you must be born again. And when you're born again, you can't be born again without having faith. Faith is the foundation. It's real wide. You got to have a lot of it. Right? So that's right. So you see on my chart here, I got the very foundation. Faith is the foundation of all of it. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see that word impossible? Without faith, it's impossible. You cannot please God any other way but by faith. Alright? For without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. There's your reward. See, He must be. And when you're a skeptic of the Bible, when you're a skeptic of the Word being right, you just might as well stay back until first you believe it. So don't try to go up this pyramid without first knowing that you're born again. Know that you've got the faith of God. And then when God gives the faith to you, whose is it? It's yours. So then it says add to your faith. All right. What is sin? Unbelief. Watch here. This is one I wanted you to see. This, he nails it right here. This to me nails the whole thing. What is sin? Unbelief. There's only two elements that control the human being. So let's cut everything out except two things. That's either doubt or faith, not doubt and faith, doubt or faith, one or the other. You're possessed. You're possessed of one that dominates your life. Just depends on how much faith you have, how high you can rise. He nailed it right there. According to how much faith you have is how high you can rise. That's what he's talking about, right? Is how high you can rise. You say, well, I've got this temper and my grandpa had it and my granddaddy had it and all that stuff and I've got it and there ain't nothing I can do about it. Well, guess what? There ain't nothing God can do about it either.
Right. Exactly.
There's nothing God can do about it if that's what you're saying.
Right.
In other words, it's like Daddy said, you pet that devil, you don't want to get rid of it.
Right.
But the requirements are that we do get rid of it.
Amen.
The requirements are that we live in brotherly kindness, godliness, patience, and all these things. And we'll get into that later. I just want to make sure that we see that this is, number one, very important. It's the centerpiece of the message which takes us into the seals. Because the seals is for the redemption of the body. Well, if you can't get these things under control here, how in the world? That's why it tickles me with ministers in the message that are preaching the third pull and preaching on the headstone and that's good. But have they got the virtues working in their life? Are they at the faith of the fathers? Or do they know that they have so much brotherly kindness and godliness till God is doing the thing in their life that they're supposed to? Okay? Because that's got to come first. God's plan's not is you get faith and then you just jump all the way up to the headstone. It's not. But remember, the third pull is the opening of the Word. But so is the first and second pull. All right? And then I've heard people preach that third pull is a new birth. Well, the new birth contains the third pull. The third pull is not all the new birth. Everybody understand that? Let me say it one more time. The third pull is in that new birth that you have. Okay? It's in there. But it's not totally all it. Because if you say that, then Paul had the third pull working in his life in the first church age, which he did not. Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, Elijah. See, though, and that's what I want to explain something here. We were looking at doing the dimensions of the city, and we'll get into that, you know, a long time from now. The city four square. That's going to be a big place to live. Probably 90% of the people, born again Christian, bride with white raiment, with the crown, with being priest and king, all the things that it says about us, never even seen this chart. Never heard of William Branham. Never heard of the message of the hour. Paul didn't know anything about Brother Branham. Wesley didn't know nothing about Brother Branham. But yet they're going to be there. What I'm saying is this part of this message is not new. It's been around since Paul was here. And God has made provision for this to work in people's life all down through the seven church ages. The only thing we as the bride of this day is standing needing is this. Sure, we need this, but if we get this, that's the next thing that's coming. That headstone to be put back onto the church, bringing that man back, like Brother Dale, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, if he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily 2,000 years ago, the man, I'm talking about him. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily 2,000 years ago. If that was the Son of Man ministry, and that's the Son of Man that took a change, that same man's got to be back here.
Yes.
That's where we're missing it. That same man's got to be back here.
Amen.
But not in one person anymore, because when he came back on the day of Pentecost, he divided himself. And Paul, there's no way that Paul could have the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Irenaeus, Martin, all the way up, until this age. Now we can have the fullness. That means that man can come back in a group of people, living in a group of people, but the Son of Man ministry had to be back. Sure, he lived in the people down through the ages. Son of God, as the Spirit God. World will see me no more. I read it. The world will see me no more, but you'll see me.
Yes.
But in the end time, he's got to come back, not literally as a person. But he's so literal in his bride because all the other ages couldn't put it together. They'd lose something here. There'd be a piece off here. There'd be a piece of the building they couldn't do. Paul said, I looked through a glass darkly, but he said, what? I see Jesus.
Right.
In other words, I'm looking to the author and finisher of my faith. But we're standing right here looking at the author and the finisher of the faith. Right here today, the Son of Man ministry. Now, that's getting way on down the line because we got to have all these first. But the importance of that is we can't have that without having this.
Amen.
This has got to be back in action, and it is. But not in its fullness. God wants everybody to be adopted. God wants everybody to have enough godliness and patience and temperance to act like God. The book of Ephesus, remember, they were called Christians because they acted like the man that walked on the earth. Like Brother William says, he's talking about being Christians or being religious. The devil's religious, but he can't be a Christian. There's no way the devil can be Christ-like. Now, he can be close, but he can be very religious. So I don't want to be called a religious person. The people in Ephesus were called Christians because the people looked at them and said, you act just like that man that was here 40 years ago or 50 years ago. And that's the way we've got to be. We've got to be to where we act like that man that was walking on the face of the earth 2,000 years ago. That's power with character.
Amen.
All right? That's power with character. Everything's coming together in the end time. We can't short ourselves. But even as we come up to the new birth, That's not all God requires.
Right.
He requires more. Because we do have memory, reason, conscious, affection, and imagination. We've got that spirit realm that we have to deal with. Because remember, in your soul, it's either faith or doubt. Not faith and doubt.
Right.
One more time. It's not faith and doubt.
Right.
It's faith or doubt.
Amen.
Okay? You doubted when you were born and come up, and before you got born again, you were a doubter.
Right?
Right? Then when faith come, you become a believer.
Amen.
It's pretty simple. But the people in the message, most of them have faith and doubt in there. Can't have faith and doubt.
Right.
It's faith or doubt.
Right.
Now what happens is you may have, you got faith inside there, but that doubt comes out a little bit into that next realm. Because where do you doubt from now? Your memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. That's where you doubt from. If you're born again in your soul, that soul can't doubt.
Right. Amen.
But it's got to go through so many filters to get down in there. I'm trying to find that quote where Brother Brown says, somehow the Holy Ghost gets into your soul. But it's not worded right, but he said, somehow. He said it takes a miracle. And that's what it does. It takes a miracle because you're a miracle. All right? It's a miracle how this thing works. So what we're going to do now is, we've set the tone. The introduction is that we need this. It's a requirement. It's required for graduation. So it's a required subject. It's something that we must have. And we must teach it correctly. But it also requires you to have a desire to want it. Okay? And if you have the new birth, you do have the desire to want it. If you have the new birth, you got to have that desire. Now, whether you suppress it or not, it's your business. It's according to how much faith you got is how high you'll go. All right? Because remember, Brother Branham preached the message, doors in doors. You let God in your house. Right? So you're born again. You let God in the house. But you say, God, now don't go behind that door right there. He made it doubt and fear and self or something else. He made several different things. Because remember, he said the Holy Ghost is timid. See, if it be me and you, see, this is power without character. You walk in somebody's house, you say, what's behind that door?
Yeah.
What you got behind that door? Let me see what's behind that door. Right? Not the Holy Ghost. He said, you got the door shut? That's fine. I won't do anything. I'll wait on you. Because Brother Brown said he's a gentleman. Now, if you say, okay, you can go in that door, you open that door, and you open that door, and you open that door, and you open that door. If you don't want him to take your ungodly temper away from you, he won't.
Right.
If that's what you got to deal with. We all got certain things. We all got all these to deal with. It's just certain levels we have to deal with them at.
Right.
I told him downstairs, temperance and patience is probably two of the worst. They're sitting right there beside each other, and you can kind of interchange them, but let's read this. I think they're going to pull it up. This is on blasphemous names, and it's a pretty long read, but I want you... This is Brother Branham. Everybody has ever read Sister Shepherd's Dream. Sister Shepherd's Dream came before the Statue of Perfect Man was preached. But he said, and I don't know if I got it in here, I kind of edited some of this out for saving time. But what happened was she told Brother Branham the dream right before he preached Statue of Perfect Man. But they didn't have it written down where he could read it. So he waited till the next week on blasphemous names and read it and saw that how it went so well with what he was preaching the Statue of a Perfect Man. So let's read it. I think they have it back there. It's kind of a long read, but, you know, I'm about 15 minutes, we should be done. I'm going to try to keep holding to my hour and 10. Blasphemous names, Jeffersonville, 1962, 1104. It was the week after he preached. The week after he preached it. Anderson, you asleep? Sister Shepherd's Dream. It's back there somewhere. I'll start reading some of it. Now I'm backgrounding this so that you will see when the sister's dream is being told. Now these things here absolutely must be in the Christian before the Holy Ghost ever seals them.
Amen.
You see that? What he's talking about? He's still got his chart up. He'll refer to it in a minute. He still got his chart of the Statue of a Perfect Man up. All right? So he's referring to that chart. Brother Joe, he may not have it on there, so Brother Joe knows where it is. So now these things here absolutely must be in the Christian before the Holy Ghost ever seals them. Now he's not talking about the new birth. He's talking about having the virtues and having the virtues sealed in you. All right? Before this comes down on top and makes a complete unit. Everybody see what he's saying? All right? Now our sister's dream now, she was worried whether she had the Holy Ghost or not. When she laid down across the dewfold where her husband was reading a paper. And she got little ones, as I have, and they're always making noise. And so in this, she fell asleep for approximately 10 or 15 minutes. And she dreamed. She never could understand it or get it all together from a year ago almost. I'm sorry, it was a year ago. Until this message. Paragraph 98, there you go. Almost until this message was taught. Then while I was teaching it, it all came back to her. That's what it was. And she dreamed that she was praying. All right. Keep going up to 99. There you go. All right. 99. There you go. She was walking the floor first before she dreamed, wringing her hands, saying, Lord, have I got the Holy Ghost? Can you prove it to me? Prove to me. Some says because that I shouted. Or some say because I spoke in tongues. And we believe in all that. But have I really got it? I believe in all those things. Paragraph 100. Keep reading. Those virtues, speaking in tongues, shouting, all kinds of demonstrations. I believe in every bit of that. But if it's there without this, I believe he's talking about this. Because he's still got his chart there. If it's there without this, there's something wrong. See, now you got a shell, notice. And she was worried about it. She just laid down across the dewfold where her husband was reading and she went to sleep. And she dreamed she was up on a mountain. Now remember, I want you to listen for a minute. She dreamed she was up on a mountain, but she didn't stay up there. She came back down. Okay? So I want you to get it, because some people think, well, she was up on the mountain, she had all these virtues. No, just watch what he's saying. You have to kind of read slow, and I think slow, so it kind of helps me. And she dreamed she was up on a mountain. And in this mountain, the best, I haven't got the paper before me, but I think it's like this. She dreamed that she saw a rock box, like a framework, sitting right on top of this mountain. And her husband was just behind her. And she saw a large man standing there with work clothes on, sleeves rolled up, bailing the most pure water that she ever seen. Now, think of the scene of a man standing right here, because the box is going to be right here. We're going to keep reading, but the box is right here, because he's going to nail it with brotherly kindness. So the box is right here. There's a man standing here on this mountain pouring water into the box. Right. Everybody got that scene? Man pouring water into a box right on top of that. All right? So a large man standing with work clothes on, sleeves rolled up, bailing the most pure water she ever seen, pouring into this box, this rock box sitting on top of the mountain. And the rock box would not hold the water. And it rolled right out of there and just boiled up. Listen. Boiled up trash.
Right.
And sticks. Now you're going to find out in a minute she's already born again. But where the water's coming in is right here. And what's it doing? It's bubbling out and pouring down over the mountain. So you think we still got rocks and sticks in us? Yeah. We still got rocks and sticks. But that's what this statue of perfect man's doing. It's not cleaning your soul out. Your soul's as clean as it'll ever be. Hey, if you're born again, your soul's as clean. It don't need this. But it's so captured by what we have on the outside. It's like a capsule. The ways of sin and all the things of the world and the junk that we go through, there's a lot of filters for it to go through. But the Holy Ghost is not boiling the trash out of our soul. It's boiled up all the trash and sticks and everything in there and boiled it out and rolled it down the mountain. And it rolled over her feet, and she was standing right in that stuff, only it didn't stick to her.
Right.
And then she asked why the box didn't hold it. And the man said, this is not water, this is the Holy Ghost. Right. So the man's pouring the Holy Ghost down into here,
And what's it boil? It's boiling all the trash out and down the mountain. So it's boiling the trash. I love this, because, and I know Brother Branham was shouting inside for sure. Nothing will hold it. And said then he went back and got another big bucket. And it was full of honey. And poured the honey in there. Said, now it will hold this. And she thought that the box was a rock box, was going to burst out and spill the honey, but it didn't. It finally stuck together and held it. Alright? She turned and went down the mountain. So see, she had to go back down. She went and got down the mountain. Going down the mountain, she stopped at the bottom of the mountain and looked back. She saw five streams of pure crystal water, not contaminated by the things that it had went through.
Right.
Still pure and clean, coming swiftly. Then it slowed down, almost faded out, and she was wondering, would it ever reach the bottom of the mountain? Five streams, and she woke up. I think that's just about as close to being right, isn't that, Sister Shepherd? Because she was there in the meeting. Now, no more than I picked up the letter and opened it, before I read it, I saw a dream. That's what a prophet does. A prophet sees the vision. All right, sees the dream. That's the way dreams are interpreted. Now, many of you have come to me with dreams and say things to me about dreams. I say, wait a minute, you never told it all. See and go back and pick it up. Then if you can't tell what you dreamed, how you know the interpretation is right or not, see? You've got to. See, that's what Daniel got into with interpreting dreams. Daniel interpreted those dreams. He would see the dreams and he'd tell them the dream. And they knew exactly that it was true because he told them the very vision that they had in Daniel back in the
right.
in the Old Testament. You've got to see the dream. A vision has to show the dream. And when you see the dream that the person dreamed and can tell them before they tell you, then you know the interpretation. All right? Now here is the interpretation of her dream. So it's got to be right because he just said it was. She was bothered about the Holy Spirit. Now, insomuch that she seen the box on the top of the mountain was the rock. Rock box is rock confession. Now, like Jesus said in the Scripture, Jesus said, who does man say that I, the Son of Man, am? One said, thou art Elias and Moses and so forth. And he said, but who do you say I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, we're going to go back to here. Now, some people say now the Roman Catholic Church said that the rock was that Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. They said it was upon Peter. And Peter was that rock, because Peter means little stone. Upon this little stone I'll build my church. And upon Peter, they, apostolic succession, they built the church. Then the Protestant church says that's wrong, that it was upon himself he built the church. Talking about Jesus. Now, not to be disagreeable, but to me, my way of seeing it, it's both wrong. Because he never built it upon Peter, neither did he build it upon himself.
Right.
Because he was the Son of Man.
Right.
But it's upon Peter's revelation of who he was.
Exactly right.
Okay? Peter's revelation of who he was. Alright? Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Some seminaries see, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed it to you. Thou art Peter. Upon this rock of confession, upon this revelation, I'll build my church. And that's been, each church age has had that rock confession on up to this rock confession of the Laodicea, right up to the top. Because remember, when he poured the water down in, it went down in here and then come back out. So the Holy Ghost covered every age. And now you cannot make a holy church. There's no such a thing as a holy church or a holy organization.
Right.
The Holy Spirit can be preached in it, but in there you find good and bad, renegades, indifferent, and everything else. So an organization will not hold. You can't say we got it, none of the rest of them has it. No, sir. The Holy Spirit is poured out on individuals. It's the individual. So therefore, the rock, this latter-day Pentecostal church, which has received the Holy Spirit, has received the Holy Ghost as they did at the first. All down through the ages, they received the Holy Spirit, but not in the measure that they have it now.
Right.
Okay? Because it's a restoration of the first. Just like we took the picture with the cornerstone, it's restoring it back to the headstone. All right. As we take the candlesticks, Alpha and Omega, how they lit the first candle and it went higher and higher, got dimmer and dimmer, then comes back again. See, first and last and so forth. Now, but in this church age, the message is being poured into the church. But the church body itself is altogether like this tabernacle, we'll say. That's where she comes to church. This tabernacle is not a Holy Ghost tabernacle. There's no such a thing. individuals that come into this church is Holy Ghost tabernacles. They are tabernacles that contain the Holy Ghost. But not the church in the body, a group. Therefore, it runs out. But what this man who was pouring the water, the messenger to the church. So who was it? He just didn't want to tell the people it was him. It was him standing there with his sleeves rolled up in the work clothes. All right? He just didn't say, but he said the messenger to the church. Pouring the message into the church. But what was the water doing? Boiling out all the trash that was in it. That's what the Holy Spirit does, boils it up now. Now the honey represented brotherly love. That's the last thing. See, this is, we're going to see in, later on, this is your hinge point. This is, if you can't get past that, because look, the headstone won't fit down here. It fits right there. So you got to have that. All right. So that's what he's saying right here. Watch. Now the honey represented brotherly love, brotherly kindness, which is this age. I just got through telling C of brotherly kindness, the age that we live in now. Now you might say, look, I don't like Brother Neville, or so don't like Brother Jones, I don't like Brother so-and-so, and something like that. But just let something happen to him, brother. Your heart's broke. It just nearly killed you, see. We can obtain brotherly kindness and feel for one another. But to maintain in a group of people. Look, he's saying something. Watch. We can obtain brotherly kindness and feeling for one another, see? But to maintain in a group of people.
Right.
Bunch of people.
Right.
To maintain in a group of people, he's saying it's going to be hard.
Right.
Why do you care for that brother? Because you've broken bread with him here at the altar, or you will tonight. You fellowship with him. You shook his hand. You worship with him. He's your brother. And you might do something in the flesh that you would disagree with, but you just kind of stay, which you ought to do. But shun him a little. But in the bottom of your heart, if something happened to that brother, it would just nearly kill you or that sister. I'm an old man. I was once young. Now I'm old. I've seen it down through the age do that. Hear people say, I won't have no more to do with him. And something happened to that man, it nearly kills him. He thinks, oh God, I let my precious brother go without making friends with him. You see, it's brotherly love. It looks like it won't stick, but it does stick. The honey sticks. Now look, here's what he's telling her. Now insomuch that she come down from there, down the hill to the bottom of the hill now, this glorious water was gushing over hills in five streams. Now five is the number of grace. JESUSFAITHGRACEC. Five is the number of grace. Five streams were pouring from up here at the trough down through here. Each one of these ages had that rock confession. The saints were sleeping, waiting, see, on till this age. But soon the Holy Ghost being poured out from Christ will come and will seal up his church.
Right.
Now, he's not talking about the new birth here.
Right.
He's talking about that Holy Spirit right there.
Right.
This is jumping a little ahead, but this is the whole dream. We're going to tell the whole dream and then we'll start over again. But soon the Holy Ghost, being poured out from Christ, will come and will seal up the church. Then the church will be raptured. It will be a complete unit of God, a bride for Christ, who will be the head of all things. You follow me now. Congregation says amen. Now she was wondering, now in her dream she was wondering, would this little stream ever get to the bottom? See, it was drying up. Now being that she herself, now here's what I want to get to you now. She herself was wondering about her own self. Did she have the Holy Ghost? Now I shunned saying this a few days ago, thinking that the church would be spiritual enough to catch it. And maybe I better turn this tape off right now, because I don't want it to get out amongst brethren, but you can speak with tongues, you can shout, you can dance, you can cast out devils, do anything you want to, and still not have the Holy Ghost. Didn't them disciples come back rejoicing and shouting because the devil was subject to them and Jesus right among them was Judas? Amen. Did not Jesus say in that day, when he come, that day many will come to me and say, Lord, have not I cast out devils in your name? Done many mighty works. And I'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I didn't know you. These things are not indications of the Holy Spirit. By their fruits, you shall know them.
Right.
Now you say, Brother Branham, should we speak in tongues? Absolutely. That's the gifts of God. But those gifts of God without these virtues, listen. But these gifts of God without these virtues in them makes a stumble block to the unbeliever.
Right.
It's not accepted by God.
Exactly right.
You see that? Those gifts of God without these virtues in them makes a stumble block to the unbeliever. It's not accepted by God. This has to be first.
Amen.
I believe he's pointing to that, because see, because it said, and when you have faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and brotherly kindness, then the Holy Ghost comes down and seals you as a unit. The same as he seals the church ages as a unit. The way he makes his bride is the way he makes his individual. Made out of the same material like Eve was made out of Adam. A rib from the side. Here is the thing that you have to have first.
Right.
I think he's pointing to that. Here is the things that you have to have first. You can't impersonate them. You cannot imitate them. They've got to be God sent and God born.
Right.
Imitation only causes confusion. And that's our problem. We've had a lot of imitation and a lot of confusion. It's like I said, could you imagine seeing a buzzard sitting there with a dove feather stuck in his wing saying, "See, I'm a dove." He's not a dove, he's a buzzard. Could you imagine a blackbird with a peacock feather in his wing say, "See, that's something that he's stuck in." But it has to come from the inside out. And it produces Christianity.
Right.
God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our sister had her feet wet when she got to the bottom. All of us know Sister Shepherd to be charitable. And he talks about opening up her house and all that. Oh, God accepted that, her foundation part. See, look, she fed the people, she shared for them. Look, whatever it is, they'll feed them, do anything they can to help them. Oh, God accepted that, her foundation part. That's down here. This is the foundation part. He accepted that. All right? And here's, now get this lesson. Here's what's wrong with the, I turn on for this. Here's what's wrong with the Branham Tabernacle. You see, there's two different kinds of faith.
Right.
There's two different kinds of virtue.
Right.
As I had it the other day. Two different kinds of knowledge. Two different kinds of temperance. One thinks it's prohibition they got. That ain't the kind of temperance that God's talking about. It's that ungodly, uncontrollable temper you got, and things of that side, fastback fuss. Patience and so forth, there's a mockery of it, a pretend to be, a nature-given faith, a nature-given virtue, there's a nature-given temperance. All these things are nature-given. And the biggest part of our faith, look here, the biggest part of our faith is mental faith. By hearing the word, it brings us to a mental recognition of God. But if this coming from above, oh brother, if it ever strikes this, there's a godly spiritual face. I believe he's talking about up there. Coming from above, oh brother, if it ever strikes this, there's a godly spiritual faith. Then what does that faith do? That faith recognizes only the word. No matter what anything else says, it only recognizes the Word, because in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word is still God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And when the Word itself is pouring into our faith, our mental faith becomes a spiritual revelation. And upon this foundation I'll build my church. Not upon a mental conception of church joining, a mental conception of that, but upon the revelation when them streams of grace has poured into that mental faith that you've got, then upon this, a spiritual revelation, I'll build my church, and gates of hell won't prevail against it. That shows they would be against it, but it'll never prevail. Oh, what a glorious thing. Now you see the faith, these five streams. He was talking about bringing a piece of chalk to do some writing, but what? But the five streams you see coming down through here tempers this together. It's been the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, that made the Ephesian church. It was the Holy Spirit that birthed the Smyrna church, the Holy Spirit that gave the Pergamos church, Thyatira church in the Dark Ages. It's the Holy Spirit that's building that bride, built that bride, the elect, that's pulled out of all the organization systems down through the ages like that. There's an elected, a predestinated bride of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit has called out the elect. And it's been the Holy Ghost in this age, that age, that age. He keeps going. That, on up to the top, the Holy Spirit. And now, as in the individuals, these virtues and things are knowledge and temperance is added to our faith. Then when the capstone comes, the Holy Spirit cements it together. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so short today. May you see here, I got some text wrote down here. Let's see, I had a picture drawn out for a dream. You can't see it from there. Now, coming from the Holy Spirit, what comes? Then when He will give it to you, supernatural faith. Spiritual faith that here at the bottom. then that spiritual faith recognizes only the Word. So how are you going to get the virtues? Only by the Word.
Amen.
All right. No matter what anybody else says, it don't do no good. That only knows the Word. If somebody says the day the miracles have passed, that faith only knows the Word. Somebody says there's no such thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that faith only knows the Word. That's real spiritual faith, you see. See, it only knows the Word. Then that was number one. Then number one coming to you, your mental faith right here, comes the Holy Spirit coming down into your mental faith, making it a spiritual faith. Then the spiritual faith only recognizes the Word. Then he talks about 2, 3, 4, and all the way down. All right, from your faith up to the Holy Spirit seals you in with Christ. Then you become one. Amen. Get these things out of my way. It's hard on your arms. He's talking about something else. You become one. See, you and Christ live together. At that day, you'll know that I am in the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. See, that's the sealed unit.
Right.
See, your soul sealed in when you get the new birth, right?
Amen.
Your soul is sealed in with God. Satan sealed out, God sealed in. But that's not in your memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination, in that spirit realm. Because remember, this thing out here is memory, reason, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. It only reacts to those two zones inside.
Right.
It does not, it's actually amoral, just like the brick. This body of mine can't sin.
That's right.
Unless I make it.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
Think about that.
Bypass the Holy Ghost.
Think about it. But our problem is our second realm.
Right.
Memory, reason, conscious, affection, right. Imagination. That's where we have to deal with these, and that's what we're going to deal with, each one. Then that's a sealed unit of the Lord God. Now, he's talking about right here now. That's why he put that Holy Spirit right there. Because it's got to seal all this in.
Right.
All right? And then they are vindicated and placed. When that time takes place, they become vindicated. Not sons and daughters of God, but vindicated sons and daughters of God. Because you know you're a son of God or a daughter of God right here. Right? But you're a vindicated son and daughter of God. The world knows. The world knows who you are. You know why they killed Peter and them? Because they were vindicated. Because they had this right here. I mean, Peter had this in his life. He was vindicated. That's why they killed him. Because
right.
He was a vindicated son of God.
Glory.
You and I have not only just got to have the new birth, which is number one requirement, but the requirement now is to let that new birth work out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let that new birth work out.
Right.
And it's like I was talking to a brother the other day. He said, I can't stop X. Or, put it at whatever your problem is or his was. I can't stop X. I said, well, if it was something. And I said, well, they don't bring them to your house and give them to you. You got to go buy them. And I said, you don't have people buying them for you, so you're the one that goes and buys them. Cigarettes or whatever. Right? They don't bring them to your house.
Right.
I've never seen them deliver them to your house. You got to get them. Just like you got to go obtain these virtues, you have to go. You have to. Brother Branham said you have to go out on Satan's territory. Right? You have to go out there. So it's your free moral agency that goes out there and does the things. And Brother Branham said one time, he said, if you're stingy, do the vice versa. You say, well, how's that? You say, well, it's a demon. Well, it's all a demon. Demons are talking to you right now. Okay? Demons are talking to you right now. They're real. But Brother Brown said, just do the vice versa. If you're stingy, start giving money away. If you got to go to the convenience store to buy you some cigarettes, just either quit going to the convenience store or go over to the chewing gum aisle instead of going over there until God delivers you from that. Because remember, you're not going to get rid of it unless you want to get rid of it. Nothing you do. You're not going to get rid of nothing if you pet that thing and let it bother you. You won't get rid of it if you like it. What God's got to do is God's got to preach the thing out of you. That's how you cast out devil. The Word of God is how you cast out devil. But these virtues are there, people. Let's stand. These virtues are there. They're in you. They're just ready to be manifested. They're ready. God, listen. God does not mind for us to call Him and ask Him. But the Bible says, speak to this mountain. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It doesn't say pray for them. Doesn't say shake them. Doesn't say knock them down. And God's not deaf. You don't have to scream. And you know what? I never heard of Brother Branham or even Jesus Christ screaming at a devil.
Right.
I've heard preachers scream at people and kick them, and that might be all right. But I've never... Jesus... The demons were even so much when Jesus walked up to the demons, they said, you want us to leave? He said, you want us to leave? In other words, why you come here before your time? You want us to leave? And he said, yeah. He said, leave. And they said, well, can we go over there? Don't just cast us out. Can we go over there in the swine? Jesus said, go on. Jesus wasn't messing with them. He knew who he was. He didn't have to shake legion and scream at him. He said, what did the Bible say? Go. That's all Jesus said was go. He said, go. And the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So how are you going to cast out devil? Resist him. Resist that urge to do the things that you used to do before. Next week we'll get into, Lord willing, into justification and sanctification to get us into the body so that we can start talking. But what we wanted to do today was just an introduction to show you, number one, how important this is. That it's not It's not an elective. Remember in school you had things you had to take. Then you had some electives like basket weaving and all them football players take all that, you know, pottery and all that stuff. But there's a required subject to graduate. This is not an elective. This is a required subject to graduate. So we got to have these. And you know what? We got to graduate.
Amen.
Brother Boyd.
No, bless your name. Page 48 in the black notebook.
Page 48. I bless your name.
In prisoner's chains,
with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night, and in their pain began to sing. They just started singing. They started singing, and their chains were loose. They didn't have to shout. They just started singing. The angel came right in there and didn't need a key. He just said, okay, just drop off. Because you know what? God wasn't finished with them yet. And until God's finished with us, we're here. But we're here to do what He said in His Word. The truth away. I bless your name. I bless your name. Listen to this. Saw midnight out. If you should find your in a prison in your mind. That's where it all starts. Reach out. The truth away. bless your name. Make it personal now. We bless your name. We give you honor, give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. We bless your name. Sing that second verse again. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you'll give us strength for the weak, Lord. That you'll give us blessings, Lord, that we can't contain. That, Father, this little church will raise up higher than it's ever risen before, Lord. That the love and faith of Almighty God will come into every heart of the believer. And, Lord, that you'll just break back those chains that's been holding us down. Of all the different things, it doesn't matter. It's all got one name, and that's unbelief. Lord, let us turn that unbelief into belief, Father. Let us take the things that we used to do, Lord, and turn them away and not do them anymore. And the things that we should do, Lord, let's do them. Father, we pray that you'll just be with each one, Lord. Cover us, especially the ones that are sick, Lord. Just cover them with your Holy Spirit. Bless them, Lord, and take care of them. All the ones that are on the highways that are traveling, Lord, with all this weather, we pray that you just be with them too, Lord. Take care of each and every one of us, Lord, until we come back together in you, Father. We ask your blessings. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bless your name. Amen. You're dismissed. Read blasphemous names, statue of perfect man. Lord bless you. I sing out a song. I sing.